listening and welcome. You are listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. This is hour two of the broadcast, and this is the 17th of April 2024. I'm Richard Carey here with William Repilm and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And, well, Stephen, I'll toss it over to you first. After those readings, William finished up at the end of the last hour, how would you respond, sir?
Hey, Richard.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Stephen, if you don't mind, I just got two paragraphs left.
Sorry. I thought it actually finished. No, the way it sounded.
Well, I didn't quite get there. Well, I might as well finish it, right?
Yeah.
So here's the quote from Marie Samuels, just reiterating. Okay, I suspected from the first dawnings of Jewish self-consciousness that between you Gentiles, white Christians, and us Jews lies an unbridgeable gulf. The Jews, being an offshoot and extraction of Esau Edom, have a deep-seated hatred for God's people, the white Israelite people, and their God. Okay, Edom's role in the script calls out for this hatred to be acted out in the world. They cannot and will not deviate from their role. And we've seen the evidence of this. This is absolutely true. We've seen this transpire so much over since then. I mean, especially like more instances of this. Never backing down. Never, ever giving an inch. Never, ever acknowledging any wrongdoing ever, you know, the Jews. Most see what is happening in the world but can offer no logical reason as to why there would exist this continual conflict, struggle, and hatred between the Jew and those of the white race. Most do not understand or refuse to accept the fact that God has so ordained this conflict from the beginning. This is the only logical explanation for what we see in the world regarding such things. Okay, so that finishes up that. So, kick it over to you, Stephen, for your comments.
That reminds me of these rabbis that I saw speaking in Israel, who called Islam the broom of the Jews in Europe. They're coming to sweep the Christians away out of their path. I don't remember that rabbi's name exactly, but this guy that wrote the book, it was from 1991. I looked up, he's from Minnesota and published a lot of similar books along those lines back in 91, and he's got his own page on the ADL, but that's almost 40 years ago now, and it's over 35, isn't it? It's a long time ago.
And 33, yeah.
Yeah, and it talks about the final conflict there, too, at the end of some of those. That seems like we're at that point right now, too. The Aryan, the Persian, and the Aryan were similar. That's what Iran was, Aryan, and that's where that comes from. So they're considered part of that Amalek enemy, too, but I've been reading some rabbis that were talking about this being that final battle that's in the end of that book there.
So, good point. Yes, yeah, they're the Persian component of the Aryan lineage.
Yeah, you know, that's brought up in this book. It's mentioned in this book. I'm going to try to find it. There's a lot of just fantastic points mentioned in this book. I was going to do there's a table that has a comparison between a Judaism from the Talmud and Christianity from the Bible. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 comparisons. Just quick little one. One is approves of sodomy. The other one prohibits sodomy. Okay, Judaism approves of sodomy. Christianity prohibits sodomy. But Judaism approves of child sacrifice to idols. Christianity prohibits child sacrifice to idols. So isn't that interesting how the Jews have done the Noahide laws through the Education Day Bill of March 26, 1991 that George W. Bush signed, H.W. Bush signed, making it okay to kill Christians because they worship Jesus, who they consider to be an idol. But yet the Jews approve of child sacrifice to idols. So cursing parents is allowed in the Talmud. Judaism, cursing parents prohibited by the Bible, okay, allows enchanting. The Judaism allows enchanting. It is permitted to consult by the charm, the spirits of oil and eggs, and make incantations. I mean, it's just bizarre stuff. disallows enchanting for Christianity. None of you shall be an enchanter or a charmer, a consulter with the familiar spirits, for Deuteronomy, which is the common, actually, the what the Jews call the Torah. Deuteronomy's in the Torah, so that's even in the common book between the Jews. See, the Talmud completely contradicts even what's in the Torah, okay? Bestiality is condoned by Judaism. Women having intercourse with a beast can marry a priest. The act is but a mere wound in Yabamoth 59b. So, I don't know. I remember there was a Jew that called in and complained about me and told me to be a man and shut up and be a man. And I guess that means stop talking about this stuff, right? But he said, one of the things that he said was to, you have to put these things in context, in their proper context. Well, okay. Put it in context. Sure.
Well, yeah, no, if I were to put that in context about the bestiality, are they referring to actual animals or are they referring to the goyim?
I would say both, right? Because they consider us to be animals, beasts, right? Bestiality is condemned, obviously, Christianity. Harlotry is lawful. What is in Judaism? Harlotry unlawful in Christianity. Let's see what it says about harlotry. That's a harlot's hire is permitted, for what the woman has received is legally a gift. So you see them like trying to normalize, you know, professions like, you know, prostitution and whatnot. You know, normalize them. Blasphemy is allowed. One can revile the divine name if mentally applying to some other object. Okay. You see how quickly, you know, in our society, how easily, and even I'm guilty of this, how we use the Lord's name in vain, say, like, GD, right, you know, and how normal this has become, right? Like, if I get pissed off or something, I'll do that, and then I'll find myself repenting for my blasphemy, right? Blasphemy punishable. He that blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. Well, jeez, that's in Christianity, but that's also in the Old Testament. But we get Leviticus, common book between the, well, supposedly Jews and Christians. Not required to keep vows in Judaism, so we see them lying, cheating, stealing, and they don't care. Required to keep vows, and so this is a total underlying tenet to our Christian Western civilization, right? Is honor and keeping your word. Okay, it isn't just keeping vows. If a man vows, he should not break his word. He shall do according to that he spoke. This is what being a man is. Even in the old days in the old West, they would have a duel and they would, you know, one would kill the other, but they would never. They would always keep their word, right? So that, you know, and even in war, right? When we would go to war with each other, our word was still important. It was important that you fought each other like men, and you held your word, right? Not how the Jew thinks. Murder is condoned. If 10 men smote a man with 10 staves and he died, they are exempt from punishment, Sanhedrin 78a. And by the way, every single one of these has a reference to, you know, most of them are in the Sanhedrin, Yabamoth, but a bunch of these are Sanhedrin. Required to keep vows. Okay, murder is forbidden, obviously, in Christianity. He that smite the man will stave, so he dies. He's a murderer and shall be put to death. Okay, so that's it. So let me kick it to you guys.
Well, hey, there were three Talmuds. Is that am I correct in that? I only heard about Talmud, like when I first started doing this radio, and then I learned that there was the first one was from Babylon. It, that's how it started, right? But then there have been two more since then, as my understanding. But you guys know more about that than me. I just want to, if you know, what do you know about that, William?
Oh, man, that's such a great question, right? Because what happened in 600 B.C. before Christ, you know, the Jews, because of their apostasy, which is according to the Bible, were taken into captivity, right, by the Babylonians. So where did this originate, right? Where did these teachings originate? From what I've learned, they originated in Babylon from, you know, and I think that those were related to Edomite peoples. Okay, so this descendants of Esau, you know, being the Edomites, the Canaanites, and these wicked, wicked, wicked teachings that they derived from their captors. And then they went on to write, you know, the rabbis, because the Talmud is this enormous encyclopedia collection of, you know, it would be like if you ordered encyclopedias, you know, you'd have like 10 or 12 or 15 different books. The Talmud is this collection of books, right, of these different rabbinical teachings throughout the ages. And what I understand, it was codified, and I learned this from Dr. Lorraine Day, in about 300 A.D., and that's when the actual Jewish religion was founded. But before that, but you know, Jesus was calling them out, them being essentially the same of the Pharisees, obviously on 0 A.D., not around that time.
In 70 A.D. was when the temple, when Masada happened and all that, they were run out of, Rome ran them out of Palestine.
They destroyed the temple, okay, yeah. The Romans destroyed the temple under Emperor Titus. I don't know if he was a governor. Titus was the governor of the region of the Roman Empire under Julius Caesar. I can't say for sure. But yes, they destroyed the temple, the Jews' temple, and they were sent into diaspora, the Jews. Right? They were, and it has a section on this in here. Basically, the world has been cursed with these wandering Jews wandering about. And this is sort of part of God's plan, I guess, for the world. And I have yet to get into why it is, and I'm really, really curious to see what it says in here about why it is that we are having to deal with this this horror, this curse. But you know, Chris Switzer would be a great guy to talk to about it. He has his show on Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Saturdays, and he talks about this all the time. He's very adamant that these people call themselves Jews are Edomites. And they call us Edom, right? You hear a rabbi like Rav Tutau is a rabbi from France, you know, and he's like this, you listen to him speak. Well, let me get the, I'll find him, we'll play him. But he's just absolutely psychopath. He's another one of these psychopath Jews that is up there, you know, calling us Edom. But it's like, no, you're Edom. I don't know if that answers your question, but
Of course, and you're listening to it, and so same with someone like Chris Switzer. From a Christian perspective, someone like Stephen or I might be from a slightly different perspective. Same with listeners, you know, the Christian listeners, and those who are of what they would consider something else. You know, are using this information in maybe different categories. The important thing is that these fundamentalists, you know, these Jewish occult esoteric fundamentalists, they believe this stuff and are acting on it, you know, just like when we have all the actions related to astrological events or, you know, different anniversaries or things, you know, I keep getting them confused, but no, it was the Yom Kippur that had like 50 years after with this October 7th. We have the UN saying that Israel's obstructing their investigation. You put those two together, and I think that's a probable cause. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, it was obvious. I mean, and what, I don't know, this, it just seems like they are putting on this big show, especially with Iran launching those drones and just call it, they're mapping everything we've got there. We have fallen, you know, they set us up for the kill. If they go and attack again, just this, it would be stupid. It would be suicide. It just boggles my mind that they're doing this and right in front of us, our quote-unquote government. You know, they're setting us up for the kill is what it looks like to me. It looks like the enemy is in charge here. That's really what it looks like. You know, and what comes next, what worries me, Russia just tested what amounts to a medium-range ballistic missile, which was banned by treaties that we completely decided to ignore. And, you know, whatever mutually assured destruction or balance of power that would keep that final exchange from happening, we've just kind of laughed at it and torn it up and thrown it in everybody's face, like, do what you can. And it just, they've reached that point now, literally. That's where we are. The next 2 years, especially, will tell the tale one way or the other. It just seems ridiculous to bring it to this point to me.
Well, I mean, we do have a lot of culminations of these, aggressive escalations. Well, both obviously with Ukraine, been building for what, almost a decade, more or less now, and U.S. is still pushing. You know, I mean, well, we have. It's hard to say who all, but they would like to get Ukraine in NATO. Some are saying, of course, that would just be an attempt to bring about World War III. That's all it could possibly accomplish, to try to get Ukraine in NATO and to force all of NATO against Russia and their allies. Similarly, we just had all these, were a dead hit strikes into Israel from Iran. I mean, things are at the, it's like a lot of piles of TNT and each waiting for a spark all at once at this point, Stephen.
I agree. And it was, they said 7 hypersonic missiles got through out of all of the ones that they fired. And this intermediate range missile that Russia tested the other day, it exhibited characteristics never seen. It could wobble and maneuver, and it's like we're being taunted by, you guys got nothing and we could hit you whenever we like, in our face kind of thing. Plus the electronic weapons that Russia and Iran have developed, while we just spent a bunch of money, while they just took all our money and bought yachts and partied with it when they were supposedly developing weapon systems. The other, you know, they were selling it, the stuff to them, it looks like. You know,
it boggles your mind,
doesn't it? Go ahead.
I should quote the country that quote was from, only good for World War III, Slovakia, okay, said that as they were opposing Ukraine's NATO membership bid. And let's see, we have King Abdullah warning Israel he won't let Jordan become the theater of a regional war. So, I mean, you know, a lot of these neighboring countries don't want to have any part of it. And of course, our border, of course, yeah, outranks Ukraine, in most states, as far as polls, I mean, people still care more about, us, our concerns here at home. I'm sorry, was that William?
I was just going to ask you, did you mean Slovenia or Slovakia?
Slovakia. Did I not say it?
You said okay. Slovakia. That's like combining Slovenia and Slovakia.
Slovakia. Yeah.
Okay.
Used to be part of the Czechoslovakia, I guess. Yeah.
But I'll kick it back to William first, please. And then
I have the clip from Rav Tutau. Now, he's speaking in French, but you can still hear the tone of his voice, and I think it's important if we could possibly play that, Mike. I'm going to read what he's saying real quick, okay? The Messiah will come only when Edom, Europe, who they consider Europe to be Edom, right? This is the Jew flipping everything over on its head, right? Because of the Talmud is demonic, as we have read. Christianity has totally fallen. So I ask you, is it good news that the Muslims are invading Europe? It's excellent news. Excellent news. It means the coming of the Messiah. Excellent news. So again, the Messiah is not actually a person of the Jews. The Messiah is the culmination of the Jewish people becoming rulers, undisputed rulers of the world. You know, world domination. You know, demonic world domination. The New World Order. The giant beast system. That's the Messiah. So he's So we could play, if, I think it's only 41 seconds long. Mike, if you could play that clip. Oh, did I pop it in the wrong chat? Sorry. All right, here, real quick. No, sorry, my bad. Let me pop it to you. BitChute clip.
All right, well, Stephen, do you have any comment on that before he plays it?
No. If it's up, I can't. Go ahead. You said this guy is
Rav.
It reminds me of being the broom of in Europe. Their broom in Europe to get rid of us too. But yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I saw you send that, Stephen, and yeah, it's interesting because yeah, I mean, if Israel's enemies can help with white genocide in the process of all the chaos, as long as it doesn't wipe out all Jews, they're okay with it. Is how I interpret that, right?
All right.
Okay, we should have the clip ready.
Edom, l'Europe, la chrétienté sera totalement tombée. Donc je vous pose la question. C'est une bonne nouvelle que l'islam envahisse l'Europe? C'est une excellente nouvelle, ça montre qu'on dit ma chère. Excellente nouvelle.
Vous allez le payer très cher, les Européens. Mais à un point, vous n'avez même pas notion de quoi on parle. Et vous n'aurez pas au fil. Parce que tout le mal que vous avez fait à Israël, vous le payez au centuple. Quand l'Italie disparaîtra, quand Edom, c'est pour ça que le QG de la chrétienté qui vient de Essal se trouve là-bas, quand cet endroit-là disparaîtra, c'est ce que veut faire l'islam, il s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le. Il s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le.
L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël.
All right, unfortunately, we don't have the captions, and we can't see the guy's face, but you can hear the tone of voice. The Christians don't talk that way. The vengeance and the psychopath demeanor of this rabbi are just, Christians just are not this way. You know, these are just a different people than us, and they just do not share the same values that we have, so they're incompatible with our culture. The fact that they're allowed, that they've become into our, we're in tremendous danger. I mean, we're beyond that. We're being wiped out by these people. So it's just, you know, I ran into another neighbor today, and was talking about where he's working, and he's working from home, and he works for this company, this corporation, this power company that is, pushing out the woke agenda, the ESG stuff, and he's all aware of that and everything. But then I was like trying to tell him, well, yeah, it's Jewish bankers behind all this stuff. It's like, no, it's not. It's George Soros. I was like, people's brains are just, you know, hardwired. I'll tell you what. Was listening to Robert Ravelt the other day, and my girlfriend told me, I like listening to him. He's different than you. He doesn't force it down everyone's throat like you do. You know, that's pretty funny. Pretty funny. I'm like, yeah, I could learn from Robert Ravelt how he delivers the message, but I remember I rode off from this guy going, oh, man. This guy goes around, he's going to talk to the neighbors, and, oh, he's an anti-Semite. The guy with the rebel flag in the yard. He's an anti-Semite, too. Gee, we were right about him.
Okay, now you've forced me to plug the Dixie Republic, because you can get your own very own lovely St. Andrew's Cross at thedixierepublic.com. And this Saturday, there'll be a strong arm contest at the Dixie Republic at Travelers Rest, South Carolina. If you're anywhere near Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and come this Saturday, 4:20. Weigh-ins start at 4 o'clock. It's two-way classes, like 199 and under and above, and then the contest starts at 6. The winner from last year is going to be a judge in this year, this contest, and it's best 2 out of 3, right arm only, and it was a great time last year. I plan to be there, and also in honor of Confederate History Month, Mike Gaddy is going to be my guest committing thought crime on Thought Crime Live this week too. And thanks for letting me say that, you guys. But you just triggered that with your rebel flag quote, sir.
I'm muted. You know, I want to get Mike Gaddy on and talk about, because I know this is like a total basic question, but go over it again. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the real motivation? Because people like to think that the motivation, if you support the Confederate flag, you support slavery, because because the South was trying to defend slavery. You know, it was all about the South wanted to keep slavery. It had nothing to do with trying to defend freedom in the North. The Reconstruction, what's that? Whatever. So, Stephen, let me ask you, let me put you on the spot. Like, what's your answer to that? Like, what was the actual motivation of the South?
Well, if the South had wanted to preserve slavery as an institution, all they had to do was rejoin the Union and support the Corwin Amendment, and it would be put in perpetuity in the Constitution. It was legal and in the Constitution when the war began, when the North came to collect revenue from the South, because the South was funding 80-90% of the government at that time already. They were already paying for everything and getting nothing back. That's why they left. Had nothing to do with that. You think the South was burdened with slavery and did want the institution to end the same way it had already started? It had ended somewhat in other parts of the civilized world, the white world. It's like I have a book that Jefferson Davis's High Road to Emancipation, that it would have probably ended peacefully anyway, and it would not have taken so long if the South had won. It would not have been around by the turn of the century. And people, they would have ended it without killing a million slaves the way they did with the contraband camps and with the war, a million black people, at least a half a million in the contraband camps, and then Reconstruction, more people died. It was this bloodbath that didn't need to happen. It was the first Bolshevik revolution that took place on our soil right here. Before there was a Soviet revolution and the USSR, there was the USSA coming and stomping all over the last free nations on this continent, which was the Confederate States of America. Then they had already created this empire with the Constitution, which was a criminal act. It was the representatives who went to the Constitutional Convention, none of them had authorization to create a new form of government. They all committed treason against the nations that sent them there in doing so. None of the states that sent them there paid for any of them. I mean, these things I've learned the last few years, it just blows my mind. And then the things you're reading about with Esau, Esau, that might explain some of it and why it was done this way, too. But, man, that's my answer to that. It gets a lot deeper than that. But when it comes to the Second War for Independence, no. The Articles of Confederation are what we had to go by until they formed this We the People deception, which is nothing but a cloak for the empire to be in. They cloaked it in the cloaks of divinity with this Constitution and all, thinking that we're inspired by God and all this. No, that government is basically the empire that we just fought against to, quote, win our independence from. And as a counter-revolution against it, it's been that way to this day. And it took me a while before I realized that's actually the truth, and I stand by that. Now, I challenge anybody to prove me wrong about that, as long as I have Mike Gaddy beside me. I've learned a lot of this on my own, but Mike Gaddy knows a lot more about this, and he's gone to the original source documents, too, more than I have. But I firmly indeed believe all these things.
Well, and I do hear that break. We'll stick around, folks, and we'll take your calls in the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, "It's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold." The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis, historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. We're on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Whitener and William Rapillum. And, you know, unfortunately, though, Stephen, even with as much information as Mr. Gaddy has, I mean, even some people around our RBN community here aren't very convinced. And I really don't know... you know, what else I can do in a couple of cases, you know, with certain gentlemen as far as, you know, what else. I mean, because basically some of it comes down to, yes, these letters, you know, exchanged private letters between these gentlemen and, you know, the intentions they had, the concerns they had each step of the as these different documents were formed and, quote unquote, legitimized. You know, sometimes it even sometimes it even came down to a single word, like in whether or not a single word would be included or something. So, I mean, but the problem is it's in some cases it can be thought of as a little too close to interpretation, I guess, in some people's viewpoint. I don't want to single anyone out, but I mean, you know, some people I've been conversing with just still aren't convinced of you know, yeah, this research that we're speaking of, and again, you know, feel like there's a divide and conquer to it. Somehow, are convinced there's an agenda there, for that matter. I mean, I've heard even you know, references to both that era, leading up to even like, you know, recent decades and popular television shows even being part of a psyop. You know, a divide and conquer to try to. Say good things about the South and we're to believe there's nothing good about them or that Lincoln was, you know, legit in what we're told some of his plans, you know, his plans were, motivations actually were, right?
he was a Marxist, you know, pen pals with Marx, Karl Marx. Wasn't that the case? And Charles Dana, was that the one that was? Yeah, he was definitely Marxist. That was his cabinet was full of Marxists. The whole Republican Party was founded by Marxists. I have a book naming all of them. They, after the failed revolutions in 1848, they were exiled over here, and they brought their critical theories, their critical race theory, and, you know, as the destroyer, these same people that you're talking about came here, started a bunch of communist clubs, and that's what was going on. There was no quote-unquote civil war taking place. It was, they were replacing chattel slavery with debt slavery. The Hazard Circular is something that the banks put out right about that in the 18, oh, I forgot the date, but it was during the war, and it signaled their intention that they were supported doing away with slavery, because that was the owning of labor, you know, the owning of people, and they wanted to own their labor by owning the debt and paying the wage. I mean, that was their plan, but from the beginning. So, you know, they, instead of letting the institution and the economics evolve along a natural, peaceful path, you know, as things progress technologically, then they had to come in and disrupt it, you know, in order to play their dialectic and reap their rewards and remain in control. By controlling the debt, they control us completely. You know, they completely did away with rightful liberty. Any rightful liberty that people had, it's been a war against that since the beginning. That's the way it looks to me, you know. And you know, these people you speak of, they're welcome to come on and try to debate me, to try to prove me wrong, but this is how I feel.
Well, some of it can't really be proven either way, too, mm-hmm. for from certain perspectives. And some of these examples, which clarify to us, at least, you know, they're intense. I do want to go to any calls. Let's see, there was one more thing I wanted to mention. Let's see, we had, well, let's see, one more update regarding these war zones here. I mean, was there anything more you wanted to add on the war situation, Stephen, the war front?
Well, it all boils down to what Israel does to respond. Are they going to keep escalating? You know, that's the question. All these people that allowed the U.S. and Israel to intercept the drones in their airspace, like Jordan, their people are PO'd. So, you know, their governments are hearing back from them. It looks to me like this was their last hurrah. Stinky might be on the way out, but it's coming up Yom Kippur. What is the, not Yom Kippur, but Purim? Is that already passed? Or because Passover's coming up, and I think I've got a bad feeling that they will do something stupid just to try to trigger more conflict and war. Because, I mean, Biden, he's taken more money than anybody else in history from AIPAC, okay? I did see today that Chinese donation to his to University of Pennsylvania, where his think tank is through the roof. So it's like this bidding war going on, all these weaponized piles of money, and that's the prize these corrupt figureheads of ours. And I don't want any of them in there. I'm sick of that. You know, I've mentioned, where's James Traficant earlier today? Where's somebody that'll call these people out and say, look, what about the people who live here? You know, all this other stuff and sending the money overseas and sending our kids over there to die in these wars. It just, I'm tired of all of that. And, you know, there is no justification for that. I agree with bring them home here. Stop bombing the world on the one hand and inviting it to come in here and live for free on us on top of it. It just makes no sense. It's insanity. It's the only kind, it's the kind of thing that only our enemy would do.
Oh, sorry for not being,
muted. We heard the traffic, but hey, that's cool.
Well, Harry, listen, and the one other thing I wanted to throw in, well, as far as, you know, a related update here, how does this keep getting away from me?
About the war zone, right?
No. I don't know. You know, I'm scrolling down, and then, like, you know, I started to... Okay, here it is. Footage shows Hezbollah drone slam into northern Israel community center. And we're hearing that there was 28 There were 28 wounded in that. I don't know. Did you hear anything about that?
I have not heard about that one yet. No.
But, okay.
These low-tech drones. I mean, low-tech drones. I heard someone say on a show earlier today, when a country or an entity is able to control a million drones in a swarm, that's the future of warfare. That's where all this is headed. And
of course, no. But I mean, you know, at this point, can we trust that it actually, you know, happened and was from Hezbollah? Right now, Israel wants as much sympathy as possible. I mean, that would just mm-hmm. be convenient after the Iranian missile strikes, late Saturday, early Sunday. I could send this one to you, gentlemen. But, I mean, William, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I haven't been following all the minutiae, but, you know, generally speaking, I think Israel is in whatever art form that they're doing it, they're enacting the SAMHSA option. And then the question is, you know, you brought up China bidding for something there. I don't know what that was, but whatever, bidding to pay off Biden. What was that,
Stephen? Basically, they were. It had to do with Biden's think tank getting a lot of Chinese money all of a sudden, although the Biden family, quote unquote, has taken more money from AIPAC than any other politician in history. So that's all our politicians and our government is good for, is sucking everybody's money in, and not only ours, but anybody else's they can, too. It's just, it's disgusting. That was kind of my point along those lines.
Well, do you think there's a competing factor between China donating money to the think tank and Jewish money?
It's possible. I don't know that. I'm not sure that's actually taking place on that level. But it's interesting that they're sucking money from both sides, and he has not gone along lockstep with Netanyahu the way Trump probably would. You know, it reminds me so much between Netanyahu, Trump, Biden, and our administration is of world wrestling, you know, of the WWE, how Trump was their darling and he was getting all of these peace deals made. Maybe they didn't want peace. I don't know. Maybe they wanted war. And then as soon as Biden was in, well, they congratulated him. It's just whoever's in power, they're going to pretend to have conflict on the surface, but underneath, you know, there's this uniparty. Basically, the banksters are in charge. It's like, that just seems to be what's happening.
And on that note, I wanted to at least report this one from Epoch Times. Biden refuses to testify in GOP impeachment inquiry. You know, he'll not be testifying in U.S. House of Representatives members. Inquiry of impeachment. We haven't really been hearing much about this. They certainly keep this out of the press, and it's even going on, you know, as much as possible. But yeah, President Joe Biden will not be testifying to U.S. House of Representatives members who are engaged in an impeachment inquiry against him, and that was stated by the White House on April 15th. Okay, and well, as far as our overall border situation, Mayorkas linked shadowy NGO we hear in Mexico is telling invaders to vote Biden. That was the claim. And of course, they're saying a lot of those flyers and everything are all fake and all this. So I wouldn't be surprised if he really was okaying all that. Mayorkas, that is. 7.2 million illegals entered U.S. in 3 years. More than the population of 36 states combined. And with that, let's jump to the phones. We have Tom in Florida, who's been patiently holding. Tom, are you still there, sir?
Yeah, Richard, I'm still here. Good evening to you, Stephen and William. You know, first off, Richard, I told you a week ago, you know, you waste this time with Israel in the airtime. I mean, Israel's one. It's Misreal. Okay, we know it's Misreal. But listen, Richard, let's get to the real fact, man. The real fact is, I told you a week ago, all you guys, I told you that this Alejandro Mayorkas was going to get off by the head rabbi of the world, this head rabbi, this kike, Putt Schumer. Now, they let this guy go in a 51-49 vote. not one demon rat would switch parties and come over. And now, our country's right there, our country's ruined. You can never go back from what happened today. Never. This country never can recuperate from what happened today with that vote. They wouldn't even bring this guy the vote on a charge of treason. And bumbling, stumbling Biden will get away with murder from the rest of the time on. You got the Congress riding over, and you got 51 Marxist, communist Bolsheviks, and one Republican wouldn't even vote. And it was a 51-48 vote, Richard, that this Mayorkas will stay in power. Born in Havana, Cuba, okay? The Greek communist family that went to Cuba. The guy's a Marxist communist, gentlemen. And this guy just won. And our country's lost. We lost our country. It's over. And if you tell me it ain't, I'll tell you, I'll kiss your bonacci. Because we're all over as a country. And left, there's only one alternative. In November 5th, they get 8 to 9 Senate seats back. And they recharge this bastard before, when January 20th comes of the new year, that Donald Trump will actually kick every one of these illegals you're talking about. And every one of those Democrats will be investigated for treason to the Constitution of the United States, allowing an invasion of our country from everywhere. These people are not coming here to compliment us. They're coming to eat our lunch and take our jobs. And by the way, I talked to a Jew the other day, Richard. And you know what he told me? You want to hear what he said, William? Steven?
What?
You want to hear what he told me?
He told
me that the Jews are the original gypsies. They're the real original gypsies of the world. They were wandering in the desert for hundreds of years. And they are the true original gypsies. And they're cunning. And this is out of a Jew telling me this. So I asked him, why are you people so why are they so diabolically getting away with everything? And he told me, they got Kabbalism. They mix it all up. They are a mix of they mix everything up. They're con artists. They manipulate. And that's what happened. Look at our United States Senate has been compromised because the Republicans couldn't get seat. Two Georgia senators in the last election. You got this Warnock, this criminal. And you got the whatever John Ossoff, these crooks kicked out two good senators, where this guy Mayorkas would have been impeached and kicked out of office and probably charged for treason. What do we got now? This guy Mayorkas escapes because of a kosher schmuck like that kite Chucky Schmucky Schumer. And you got this Goldman, you got this Amy Raskin. They're 1.8% of the population, gentlemen. Yet they control our government. You got Bloomberg said he went to Vietnam. He never did. You got this Bernie Sanders, a full-blown communist. And you got all these white trash imbeciles in these New England states and out west voting for these people. You got mind-washed, imbecile white trash. And that's what I'm going to call them. White, filthy trash. And I'm a white person, and I'm ashamed to even say it anymore. I don't even want to say it. Maybe I should join the aliens from outer space. If they get rid of my taxes in this government, I'd join them.
Right. Well, here let's hear from some of my co-hosts to your comments, yes. Tom. Yeah, William.
I always appreciate Tom's rants. Wait. Nothing in there I disagree with. I don't know. I would say I don't know if I agree that when Trump gets in there, something's going to happen. I don't know about that.
Well,
you think something's going to happen this time, Richard,
Richard, I rave the truth, and that's what we all should be doing, because right now our country is locked. We lost a very, very, very crucial situation in the Senate today when you got these demon rats. Not one of them ever break ranks. The Republicans are always breaking ranks. They're going to kick Johnson out, and this guy, Akeem Jeffers, is going to probably take over the Congress. The Republicans are full of crap. This is all a big scam. This is a giant Hollywood production scam run by Hollywood and all guys like Katzenberg, Zuckerberg. The whole thing is a joke. It's a disgrace. You're talking about Sorak, George Soros. This guy's got billions of dollars, buying up all the radio stations. This is insanity. We've lost our country. And all the Christians, all they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Judeo-Christian. Judeo, my ass. Jesus Christ turned the tables over. And yeah, it was right then and there when he changed all that money down on that ground and said, you are not part of this kingdom. And that's what happened. Pontius Pilate, look it in the Bible. All you got to look is it in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible, right in black and white.
What do you think about everything that, Tom, what do you think about everything William was mentioning about this Edomite stuff?
Well, yeah, the whole world's gone nuts. What can I say? Steve was talking about the Civil War situation and about this Holocaust of blacks. Well, you know what? I wish Stephen on his Saturday show would do some in-depth study about Abraham Lincoln's mm-hmm. last month in office mm-hmm. and what he was going to do with the situation after mm-hmm. the Civil War had ended. People never talk about it. Mr. Gavin should study Lincoln's last month in office. That's why they had Monrovia. That's why they had Liberia. Because he knew Lincoln was saying it. And if I believe if Will
Stephen
shot him.
Yeah, we have talked about that, and Will this Saturday probably too. Especially what happened up to his execution. You know, it was Stanton, I think, that ended up ordering. That it stinks. He's done a real in-depth dive in the last day or two. And as far as the last month, he wanted to let the South come back as if it had never left. And no, they can't have that because they knew they would hang for what they'd done down here. You know,
yep.
They had to put their boot on the neck of the South or the survivors would be just like the Palestinian survivors are or will be, you know, in 30 years if there are any left. They would be just as angry, just as mad for the same pretty much the same reasons. That's what that war boils down to. And yeah, we'll talk about that. And I want now that got me all to the where I forgot the other thing I was going to mention to you. But I cannot think of one person who stands up for this truth in our Congress or our Senate. And who's ever been held accountable? Who's ever gone to jail? Only people who stand up for that truth, like James Traficant, for instance. Okay. They put him in jail for some trumped up something. They put people in jail who tell the truth. I mean, it's not the crime. It's telling about the crime that's the crime now that they have prosecuted. Yeah, it's infuriating. Let me toss it back to you guys before I blow a gasket.
Hey, William, I'd like to ask William a question. I'd like to ask William a question, Richard. How are the people in Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, great state, I've been there before, it's a beautiful place, Vermont. I love that area. It's a really beautiful place. But all these mind-washed, licky, kissy, touchy-feely white people would vote for a guy like a lying, conniving, you bastard, Dick Blumenthal. My brother was I had two brothers in Vietnam, and this guy's going around when he was running for office as a senator saying he was a Vietnam veteran. He fought in Vietnam, which he never did. He was in combat and all that, and he actually lied to the populace of that state, and he still gets elected into office as a senator. How can this be, William? Explain that to me.
The only answer I have for you, Tom, is that I can take an excerpt from today's interaction I had with a neighbor, and just the underlying premise of what he was saying to me was he was assuring me that George Soros is behind it, not the Jews. So there's that level of stupidity that's kind of going on amongst our people. The other thing is a willful ignorance that takes place because, you know, the guy works within a corporation. He has his nice job. He has his nice house. And he doesn't want to. And one of the last things he said to me is, oh, the FBI is going to end up knocking at your door. It's like, well, I keep talking about this. The FBI is going to knock at my door. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. I'm keep working for. He knows exactly what he's supporting. And yet he keeps doing it because he doesn't want to upset his little bubble that he's got going on there. Unfortunately, I think this is a plague to our people. We just have kind of cowards left, you know. The Jews have sent us off to war and killed the best of us. You know, they've done what they say they're doing in the town. The best of the Goyim should be killed, and all we have left are these cowards. You know?
Well, you know, I can't almost argue with that. It's like, that's what's basically happening here. And, you know, the state of Vermont, they're electing a guy like Bernie Sanders, which they're like, I looked it up, the Jews only make 14% of the state of Vermont. But they're electing this guy as a United States senator, which has a very powerful position, as you saw today, with this Mayorkas riot. Blumenthal, Dick Blumenthal, the same thing. And these white Christians are electing these as their leaders in these New England states. It's mind-boggling. Look what's going on in Boston. Look what the mayor of Boston. I mean, this is unbelievable to me. And I'm like saying, what is it going to take when 50 million Chinese go into those New England states and take it over? and they want to have their own Chinese police stations and their own Chinese military in those New England states? Is that what's going to take to wake these imbeciles up? I don't know. But it looks crazy to me what's going on. And then the FETA
I bet you they'll
today.
Keep celebrating it. When that happens, they'll keep celebrating it.
Possibly.
They'll never.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know, man. I think after today's vote, guys, I think after this vote today with fucking Kike Schumer, I think our government's over. I really honestly do. I don't see it coming back from this because they're going to keep – they're pretty soon they're going to let these illegals vote. They're probably going to vote by the million within the next 2 years. This country's over. And look, it's only going to end up one way. I think Mr. Gaddy said it. It's going to end in a revolution, not a civil war, a revolution.
And Tom,
that's all I think.
Tom, I think it's been over for a while, brother. I think it's been over a long time.
I think you're
that
right.
We are the laughing stock of the world now. We have been at the very least since 2020, right in when January 6th BS was pulled. You know, they wanted a whole lot bigger incident than they had. They had bombs set to go off and all that. That's why they were planning to board up the Capitol already. It's just the rest of the world sees us for the clowns we are now. And I just saw recently that possibly Israel was planning to attack on Monday and that they have backed out. But who knows? That's going to be up and down and over, you know, all for a while. There'll be rumors of this and rumors of that. They'll play it all they can. But it looks to me like they're done. Now, it's a paper tiger. They got nothing left. All they have left is the, as you said, the Samson option. If they decide to bring the whole world down with them, then I don't believe they can anymore.
I believe
that's,
you're right.
That's my
opinion. I got to say this, okay. Stephen.
Amen.
I want to say this, Richard. What about this thing about Orban and Hungary, that he says if George Soros sets foot in Hungary, he'll be arrested. Is that true? I'd like to know if that's true, number one. Jim Fester was talking the other day that yeah, it's true that Soros is trying to buy up all the radio stations he can. So how is this guy, Soros, able to do this? And how is he not being arrested in Hungary? He's supposed to be wanted over there. I don't understand it.
Well, he may be somewhat of a figurehead, but supposedly he's retired. It's his son, Alex, who's in charge now, right? He says he's going to be more of a hard ass than his father, right? 100 times worse.
Thank you, all guys.
But
thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you, William and Stephen. And I look forward to your broadcasts. All right, folks, please support RBN. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Plenty of ways to help out so that we will speak again soon. And until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.